We are here wrapping up our series today. We've gone through four different biographies of Christians from the past who we can look to for an example of how we can live out our Christian life. We're maybe not trying to imitate everything exactly what they did, but the principles by which they lived and the characteristics which marked their lives are important things for us to look to remember and consider. How do I live in this world as a Christian? Who can I look to for an example? Well, of course, we look to Jesus, and we look at his life, and we say, I need to be more Christ-like. Well, then Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And so we look at the life of Paul, and we look at someone like him. But then we come to verses like Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17, and it says, brothers, join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example that you have in us. So you need to fix our eyes on people who are living out an example of what it means to live biblically and to live in light of the commands of Christ. And so that's what we've been doing with this series. We looked first at the life of Hudson Taylor and then David Livingston. Then we looked at the life of Andrew Murray, which you may find when Lucas was doing his sermon series through the life of Abraham, there was a name change in there where he went from Abram to Abraham. And a lot of times those got kind of twisted around, intermixed. Well, you may find that I do that this morning with Robert Murray McShane is going to be our last one, but another Murray. So I may say Andrew Murray McShane, I say Ian Murray McShane, there's all these Murrays, and so if I get them mixed up, just know I mean Robert Murray McShane, this guy right here. But we're going to look at his life this morning, and you may notice something about the dates in which he lived. If you look on the slide here, it says 1813 to 1843. If you do the math, that's 30 years. Well, he didn't even reach his 30th birthday. He was a man who died at the age of 29. He's a man that did not write any books. He's a man who did not do any crazy exploration. He didn't do something fascinating that people would want to write about in a book later on. He was a man who was faithful to the calling to which the Lord called him to. And because of that, we see a life that is worth emulating. We see a life that is worth looking to and comparing with Scripture to see, is this a life that I can look to have encouragement in the way that I need to walk with the Lord? So we're going to look at how he did this this morning. And again, when we look at the characteristics of a man's life, it's not like he set up these three things for his life to be surrounded around upon. But actually, these are just three things that you can pull from reading through some of the diaries of his journal and the experiences that he had and the accounts that friends would give of him, that these are the things that were recognizable in his life. You may not remember everything he says, but this was recognizable as a characteristic. And so he was a faithful servant of God by redeeming whatever he had. So that's going to be our theme this morning, of him redeeming the opportunities that he had. He'd make the most out of any opportunity, and in three particular areas we're going to look at this morning. We're going to see how he redeemed relationships, we're going to see how he redeemed words, and we're going to see how he redeemed the time. So first I want to look at how he redeemed relationships. Well, what does that really mean? Well, I want to first talk about his mentor, who's a man named Thomas Chalmers. He was a professor at the Divinity School that he attended after his conversion. After Robert Murray McShane's conversion, he came quickly, actually, to seminary. He was a very brilliant young man. He went to college at the age of 14. And so by the time he was 21, he was finishing up Divinity School, which is where he was here. But he had a friend named Thomas Chalmers that he met there, who became the greatest influence upon his life. With this mentor, he pressed all the great learning into the service of holiness and evangelism. And he would explain to McShane the truths like this. He would say, beware of both the white devil and the black devil. The white devil, or the black devil, being that of sinfulness, of outward fleshly sin. And then he'd say also, beware of the white devil, the one of self-righteousness, clothed with what looks like righteousness. Except you need to put a disparity between the two. You need to understand that there is devil on both sides. And he would funnel this lesson into McShane such that he would understand even more what it means to walk with Christ and not with his own righteousness. So he had a mentor who would be pursuing him that way. He made the gospel of Christ crucified for sinners central to the power for this holiness that he would pursue. He redeemed relationships not only by having a mentor, but by maintaining close friendships. There was a man named Andrew Bonar. It's actually the man who wrote his biography. He was a man who he went to school with, who he traveled with, who he did ministry with. But they were of the closest of friends. They would sit together and they would talk about the deep things of God. They'd wrestle through theological questions. They would encourage, edify, exhort one another, things that we find in Scripture that is good for us to be doing. That's what these two would be doing as they'd get together. They would pray with and for one another. They would share Christ with the lost with one another. They truly were companions and brothers in Christ, and they enjoyed the richest of fellowship. So I just want to ask you this morning, as a point of application, we'll find that the life of Andrew Murray McShane, Robert Murray McShane, we'll find that his life touches ours very closely. That I want to ask you, what kind of relationships do you have? The friendships that you have, how do you invest in them? How do you spend them? Do you have friends that you pray with? Do you have friends that you talk through theological questions? Do you have friends that you talk about evangelism with and say, let's just go out and evangelize with one another? Do you have friends that you just want to encourage and support and comfort? Or is friendship to you mainly what do I get out of it? What kind of fun activities can we plan and do together? Can it be a waste of time? How do we redeem those relationships? How do we redeem the people that are in our lives and make it something that's beneficial both for us, for them, and for the surrounding community that we would be able to influence? So he would have redeeming relationships because of his mentor, because of his close friends, and then also his relationships by a genuine concern for souls. Maybe not the people who were directly involved in his everyday life, but the people that he would come into contact with. He didn't just see them as people to, all right, I have a message to give to you. Here it is, now I really have nothing else to do with you. But he redeemed the relationship by having genuine concern for these people. He would write letters to friends and acquaintances, and it would reflect the way that he perceived them. And it would reflect the way that he perceived their souls. There was a man who he wrote six letters to. And there were six letters that had to do with a friend who was seeking Christ. Now, on Wednesdays, Gospel Grace Church is meeting at Liberty Park, and we're doing nine different gospel presentations. The same gospel, multifaceted, so we can explain the gospel in nine different ways at least. And so we're trying to equip believers by being able to explain the gospel in nine different ways. Well, Robert Murray McShane wrote six letters to a friend with six different ways that he explained the gospel to them. He said it like this. He wrote his first one about corruption, about the corruption of man. He wrote another one about the righteousness of Christ. He wrote one about joy in believing, one about Christ is precious, found in Christ, and leaning on Jesus. They were wholly evangelistic, and they were powerful. Sometimes when we want to give the gospel, maybe we water it down so it meets the acceptability of our friends. And in that, we show that we do not have full, genuine concern for them. Because genuine concern comes when they understand the gospel, when they understand their need of who their Savior is. And Robert Murray McShane was able to do that with this friend. He had pastoral letters that he would write to his congregation. He would start it out like this. This was just one of them. To all of you, my dear flock, who are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, to be holy and without blame before him in love, your pastor again wishes grace and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. He had such compassion. He had such compassion for those who were under his care. But the important part about that compassion was he expressed it to them. Maybe we have concern and compassion for our friends and for the people who are around us, but maybe we internalize it. I know I do that a lot. Yes, I have compassion for the people at work. I have compassion for those who are on the street. I have compassion here for those who are in this building. But do I ever express it? Do I ever tell that? He would do that to his congregation by writing them letters, and he would address it with the love and sincerity of a pastor who had genuine concern for them. And so he would redeem the relationships that he had in his life. but he would also redeem his words. McShane was a poet at heart. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that he was a great poet, but he was poetic in his thoughts and in his meditations. And so when he would be pondering a subject, when he would be contemplating the truths of Scripture, he would express those thoughts in such a way that they would proceed with beauty, reflection, and depth. He didn't have to rhyme in everything he said, but it was reflected with beauty and depth. Have you ever met a person who thinks deeply about their spiritual state, who thinks deeply about the truths of Scripture, who thinks deeply about the things of God? And then as they let it like ruminate and marinate in their own soul, it comes out in such a way that you say, wow, that was a lot of thought that was put into that. And not only thought, but you processed it, and it's a greater understanding in the way that you've expressed it. Those are often convicting when they come out because of the way they're expressed. So that's what Robert Murray McShane would do. He would paint a picture with his words and animate an experience to give it life, give it lifelike dimension to the hearer. So even when it wasn't a formal poem, his sermons would just drip with this poetic prose to it. Memorable quotes, memorable things that these people would be able to take with them and understand because of the way that he thought. So we're not able to unlock, or we are able to unlock the archive of his thoughts by reading many of his quotes that have survived time. Because of the poetic nature of who he was and the way he redeemed his words, words were very important to him. He didn't let them just slip out and say, oh, I'm just kidding, or no, I guess I didn't really mean that. He would use words with force. And so we have things from him. We have quotes that we can look back to when he says this: what a man is on his knees before God, that he is, and nothing more. It's a powerful statement. It's a very few amount of words, but it's a powerful, powerful statement. He said this as well: suffering brings out graces that cannot be seen in a time of health. It is the treading of the grapes that brings out the sweet juices of the vine. So it is affliction that draws forth submission. Weanedness from the world and complete rest in God. Use afflictions while you have them. He paints a picture in your mind to give greater understanding for affliction and pain in your life and how God uses it. And he says this also: Lord, make me as holy as a pardoned sinner can be. And you just let that thought sit on you for a moment. And it's deep, because God makes holy out of what is sinful. He makes you and me holy. And he says, make me as holy as a pardoned sinner can be. He also wrote formal poems, and I just want to read one to you. It's one of his more famous ones. It's called Jehovah Tsekednu, the Lord Our Righteousness. We were able to go through the names of God in a series earlier on this year, or this past year, and we learned about the name Jehovah Tsekednu. Well, Robert Murray McShane wrote a poem, and it explains not only the theological truths of that name, but actually it's going to walk through his experience and understanding in his own life of who the Lord, the righteousness, is to him. And so I just want to read it. It's seven stanzas long, so follow along with it. But listen to how it works in his life and the transformation that comes about. He says, I once was a stranger to grace and to God. I knew not my danger and felt not my load. Though friends spoke in rapture of Christ on the tree, Jehovah Tsekednu was nothing to me. I oft read with pleasure, to soothe or engage, Isaiah's wild measure and John's simple page. But even when they pictured the blood-sprinkled tree, Jehovah Tsekednu seemed nothing to me. Like tears from the daughters of Zion that roll, I wept with the waters went over his soul. Yet thought not that my sins had nailed to the tree, Jehovah Tsekednu, 'twas nothing to me. When free grace awoke me, by light from on high, then legal fears shook me, I trembled to die. No refuge, no safety in self could I see. Jehovah Tsekednu, my Savior, must be. My terrors all vanished before the sweet name. My guilty fears banished, with boldness I came. To drink at the fountain, life-giving and free, Jehovah Tsekednu is all things to me. Jehovah Tsekednu, my treasure and boast, Jehovah Tsekednu, I never can be lost. In thee I shall conquer by flood and by field, my cable, my anchor, my breastplate and shield. Even treading the valley, the shadow of death, this watchword shall rally my faltering breath. For while from life's fever, my God sets me free, Jehovah Sekenu, my death song shall be. He walked through this experience of the Lord, his righteousness, and it became more and more apparent that he needs to be his all. He needs to be his everything. And so with his words, redeeming the words, he reminds us again of the importance of fastening all to Christ, letting Christ be all in all, let Christ be everything in our life. It's amazing how simple thoughts put to prose are more memorable and often reflect sometimes a greater amount of understanding. That's not true across the board. There are certainly discourses that we can have that are very beneficial to us. but it does help identify why McShane would be such a memorable teacher after really only less than a decade of ministry. The people that we've looked at in the past, they've had decades of ministry. When David Livingstone went to Africa, he had years and years and years that he was in the wild land of Africa exploring. And the same thing with Hudson Taylor. As he would go up into China, he had years and years and years of doing this. Well, there was a powerful punch to McShane's life. And it would be very much like someone, you could maybe take the picture of a firework, where there's a blast and a moment of beauty, and then it's gone, right? A blast, a moment of beauty, and then it fizzles out into the dark night. And that really is the life of Robert Murray McShane, because he came on the scene. He was not a believer until he was almost in his 20s. And that came through the death of his brother, realizing the importance of God and of the brevity of life. He gave his life to Christ. And so he was there for a moment, and then by the time he was 29, the Lord took him home. He was a bright flash of light, and then he was gone. But then you could also look at the illustration maybe, and I want us to do this positively, but that of an atomic bomb. Because we see the destruction that an atomic bomb could cause. There's a brilliant moment of flash and light, and then the light is gone, but the destruction happens immediately. But then what happens after years and years of radiation that settles? There's more of an impact, and it's a greater impact even than that initial burst of light. Well, we look at Robert Murray McShane's life, and yes, he came very quickly, and it was a powerful, pungent, just burst of energy onto the scene that the Lord used. But what has happened now since the settling of his life? We learn from it, and we grow, and we see the effects of a righteous life lived to the holiness of God. And we pursue that, and we see the effects. So he redeems both relationships and words, but then he also redeems the time. He said this, "Increasing in the knowledge of God, I grew in grace, and with an open ear to the counsels of the wise, I learned to walk circumspectly, redeeming the time." So that he would say this, "I need to honor Christ above all things." He said, "Set not your heart on the flowers of this world, for they all have a canker in them." He said, "Prize instead the rose of Sharon more than all, for he changes not. Live nearer to Christ than to the saints, so that when they are taken from you, you may have him to lean on still." That was not true that he could say that of his whole life. There were many years that he walked away and he doubted and he said, "I do not want to have a part of this." And it was not until the death of his brother David that he was aroused to a concern for his own soul. He was impressed then with a sense of eternal things, such that he said, "Lord, I need you to be my righteousness. And if I'm going to pursue you, then I need to live in such a way that I'm worthy of the calling to which you have called." And so he gave his life to ministry. He gave his life to telling people the good news of Christ. He gave his life to ministry. John Piper wrote a biography of McShane, and he entitled it this, "He kissed the rose and felt the thorn." He kissed the rose and felt the thorn. Maybe some of you have heard of that. It came from actually like a play on McShane's own words that said, "I kissed the rose forgetting the thorn." Now when I say that he's redeemed the time, He's making the most of the time. McShane, in his early life, he reflected back and said, I kissed the rose. I tasted the things that I thought were good. And I forgot about the thorn, and I was hurt. He did not redeem the time then. But once he began to redeem the time, Piper was able to take this quote and say, you know what? He kissed the rose and felt the thorn. He tasted. He took Christ. He took that rose. And yes, he did feel the thorn because he did have a life that was cut short. What we would say was a life that was lived in just the morning of life. Just 29 years into existence, we say that's still the morning. You know, you're not even really into midlife yet. But the Lord took him home. So he felt, he took what was good. He took the rose of Christ. And yet he still had him feel the thorn of a shortened life. So understanding the brevity of his life, McShane lived with the understanding that he had tuberculosis. He lived with the strong sense that he would die early. So the double key to his life is the preciousness of Jesus, who is the rose, and it's intensified by the pain of the thorn, the shortness of his life. So what do we look to when we see a life like Robert Murray McShane? He's a man who really had no greater gifts than anyone who is in this room. He's a man who followed Christ and redeemed the time that he was given. Some of you are here this morning and you're redeeming a week. And you're investing all you have into this week. And that's wonderful. I would encourage you, invest another week when you get back home. Redeem that time. You're going to go home to relationships. People that you know well, people that you know as just acquaintances. Redeem the relationships. Spend the time with them in a way that's going to be valuable. Spend time praying with them. Spend time praying for them. Spend time meeting people on the street. Spend time meeting people at your work. Spend time meeting people at school. Spend time redeeming relationships. And then redeem your words. Use your words knowing that they carry weight. If your words carry no weight with someone, I would encourage you to reconsider the things that you're saying. Let your words be things that direct people to Christ and have weight and impact. You know, is there validity to us looking at the life of Robert Murray McShane and all the other characters that we've looked at throughout the past 5 weeks? And I would say there is. Even Robert Murray McShane was doing it. I said by reading the memoirs of David Brainerd, Henry Martin, and other servants of Christ, he fanned the newly kindled flame and devoted himself unreservedly to the work of the Lord. We can be very, very much encouraged by the lives of people who have walked faithfully with the Lord before us. We get that from Hebrews. We get that from Philippians. We get that from example now, from these men and women who have lived a faithful life, and they've looked at the lives of people before them, and they said, yes, this is something I can do, all by the grace of God and the power of God. So I would encourage you. We've looked at five biographies in the past 5 weeks. I would consider commending to you the reading of more biographies. Some of you do this, and you'd come and tell me afterwards, oh, you should do this name, or here's something else about this guy that I've been learning that maybe you weren't able to say in the 20 minutes. And I'm grateful for that. But I would encourage you, learn from the lives of those who have gone before you and be encouraged. Sometimes it's convicting, just because we see the highlights of their life and it seems like they were always praying or they were always evangelizing. But those are things that can stir us and encourage us. And we really, Robert Murray McShane only had 29 years here in this life. We don't know what our time frame is, but either way, James says, it's but a vapor. It's a breath. We can sprint. And so I'd encourage you, redeem the time, redeem your words, redeem relationships, and look to those in the past who have done it well before you, ultimately looking to Christ, knowing that it's his righteousness and it's his character that we need to follow. So I commend to you these biographies. I commend to you the Lord. Be encouraged in your walk with him. Let's pray this morning.